Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Steve Kathan. Words of assurance from the nation's Treasury Secretary as Congress pushes for answers about two bank failures.
Secretary Yellen says depositors are safe.
The Federal Reserve is providing additional support to the banking system with a new lending facility. This will help financial institutions meet the needs of all of their depositors.
But when it comes to those who ran Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank,
shareholders and debt holders are not being protected by the government.
Yellen also stressed the need for Congress to raise the debt ceiling. Telling the Senate Finance Committee a GOP plan to prioritize some bills over others is just default by another name. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
New developments in the Black Sea. CBS's Cammy McCormick tells us the Russians got to pieces of a U.S. drone first.
The Russians arrived at the wreckage scene soon after the drone went down. One Russian ship recovered wreckage. The Russian vessel has since left the area as it's close enough to Ukraine to be hit by a missile. Regardless, the wreckage, they say, will be difficult to retrieve in such deep water, and the U.S. has rendered most of it invaluable anyway.
The Air Force has released video that it says proves the drone was buzzed by Russian fighters and it was clipped by one of them. There's new U.S. pressure on the Chinese owners of TikTok, the video sharing app, as we hear from White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
A statement from the company indicates the Biden administration has strongly recommended a divestiture of TikTok from its Chinese ownership, or else. A TikTok spokesperson says a split off from Beijing wouldn't solve U.S. security concerns, but that TikTok's own plans would. A growing chorus of critics in Congress notes that any Chinese-owned technology company has to comply with China's law permitting the government to take its data at any time. The Trump administration tried to ban TikTok more than 2 years ago, but the effort was blocked by the courts.
In France, after weeks of protest and angry debate about a pension bill, the retirement age is being raised 2 years to 64.
Opposition lawmakers booed, jeered, and sang the national anthem as the prime minister announced she was not going to wait for a vote. Instead, Elizabeth Borne forced through the controversial pension reforms by invoking special constitutional powers. This came after the Senate voted in favor of modified proposals, but the National Assembly remained mired in heated debate for that final hurdle. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Paris.
Microsoft has just unveiled new artificial intelligence upgrades to services that include Word, Excel, Outlook email, and PowerPoint. Wall Street, right now the Dow is up 190 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'll second guest dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
Snuggle up with a new friend this cold season. There's someone waiting for you. This week's Pet of the Week is brought to you by Current Technologies Incorporated and the Southwood County Humane Society. When the power goes out, contact Current Technologies Incorporated, your local Platinum Kohler generator dealer. Don't be left in the dark. Call 715-887-4444 to get more information about Kohler Standby Generator today.
Every penny counts. It isn't just a saying. It's a store where you can make sure your pennies count. At EPC, you'll find a little bit of everything. Electronics, baby products, home decor, and more. Save money on every item every single day. Stop by EPC on 8th Street South next to Domino's and Wisconsin Rapids. Savings like this? Now that's epic.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. The National Curling Championships kick off in Wausau today. 24 teams from across the country are competing, with finals held on Sunday for the annual USA Curling National Club Championships. In an attempt to avoid a permanent tax increase, one Wisconsin municipality leans on a 1915 state statute that allows towns to establish a transportation utility district to temporarily raise money to improve roads. The legal battle is before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The town of Buchanan used the funds to fix roads that directly benefited the homeowners who paid the fees. The lawsuit is being brought to the Supreme Court by a nonpartisan group represented by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Aaron Rodgers is sounding like his days as the star quarterback for the Green Bay Packers are over.
At this point, as I sit here, you know, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with isolated rain showers likely. High of 43, winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, mixed precipitation likely. Lows dip down to about 20. Chance for snow tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 26. Cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 43.
Decide to text us. Who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP?
Fantastic.
Pat also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin. Welcome to the 12 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are coming to you live, not from Waukesha, but from Madison.
Mad City, baby.
And Mr. Aaron Zommers is on the board, and we are having fun doing some crossovers today. We just had Todd Alba on with us, so if you missed any of that fun, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast, either on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or anywhere you find podcasts. And so, ironic that the one day that we're not in Waukesha, our next guest is going to be here to talk about Waukesha. And so, but you know, sometimes that's just how the timing goes. But not her first rodeo. Nope. She's been on the show. This is her third time on the show. Sarah Harrison, who is a former Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's Assembly, also a parent of two Waukesha teenagers, is back. We wished for happier news. But she is back to talk about developments from the last time she was here when we were talking about the Waukesha School Board and parental rights and the different bills they were passing on that, and also, you know, teacher uniforms and what they could and could not wear. And now I want to get an update on that, but there's also things happening with the library and banning books. And so, Sarah, we're very happy to have you back. We have to have you come talk about happy things at some point.
Right. Right. I know I always come with such dreary subjects, but they're important to talk about.
Absolutely.
They are.
They're critically important.
Yes. And so let's start with an update on the topics from the last time you were here, which was in January. Sure. And the school board had kind of rushed, from what I remember, had rushed through without a lot of notice, awareness to parents that they were going to be voting on this, but basically voting on a parental rights. And we're seeing this all over the state. We're seeing this all over the country of bills and school boards that would force teachers to get parental consent to use any kind of different pronouns or a different name. Or if students came out to them in any way, they would have to tell parents. And so, was there some questions on the legality of that? Or has there been any changes since we last talked to you in January?
So it still is in place and being followed. It's a resolution. It's not a policy, and I think that's very intentional because policies are open to more scrutiny, and resolutions are supposed to be more like a statement of belief. However, it will be used to form policies, and one of the things that has come up is the library book review process is a policy that's being informed by that right now. And historically, the process has been a lot more public, and what they're putting in place now, again, they're taking some things out of policy, putting it in a handbook instead, because there are different my belief as to why they're doing that is because there are different standards for handbook versus policy. But as a parent, I would only know if a library book was challenged if the person who challenged it and then it went to committee was unhappy with the result. Then it would go to a public process. But otherwise, I would have no idea that some material has been challenged and taken out of the library, and that my child could no longer access that material. Or I could constantly check a spreadsheet over and over and over to see if there's been any change to the spreadsheet, which is not how I plan to spend my time. No. I love spreadsheets, but that's not what I'm going to do with my time.
Sarah, I want to clarify something before we continue, if you don't mind. So if a parent makes a complaint about a book, they can pull it off the shelves until there is a public hearing on it. So they can remove it immediately, and then maybe 4 months later, 5 months later, the review process will come up. So in the meantime, that book is going to be gone. Is that accurate?
The review process doesn't include any sort of public hearing unless the complainant challenges the ruling from the process. So it would go to a committee, but it wouldn't be publicly accessible. It would go to a group of folks who would make a determination. Does it stay at the same level? Does it get moved up a level? Does it get removed from the library? And none of that is available to the public. The only time it would become available or visible to me is if they were unhappy and they appeal that ruling. So, or if I am keeping very close tabs on that spreadsheet that's out there for us to look at.
So someone wants this ABC book banned, and the committee agrees to ban it, and there's no pushback, and there's you know, they accept that. So then the ABC book is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yep, so what is the burden of proof for the person who is challenging the book?
I don't really think that's well defined. It's they are saying that things can be removed because they are deemed harmful to minors.
Well, that's a pretty broad. Yeah, that's a pretty broad definition.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see.
We're talking to Sarah Harrison. While she looks for this, I'll just reintroduce what we're talking about. Sarah Harrison, former Democratic candidate for Wisconsin Assembly and also a parent of two teenagers in Waukesha. And she's been on before to talk about some of the things that are happening on the Waukesha School Board. Previously, it's been passing parental rights and basically putting teachers in a position where they have to out students to their parents, but then now it's moved over to libraries as far as the process of which books can get taken out of the library entirely. And it's been interesting. I haven't watched a ton of it, but there is, as she's looking for this, there is a quick promo for as long as it's still around. There is a TikTok called Waukesha Dumpster Fire, and it's all
yes,
just recordings from the Waukesha School Board.
Really?
Yeah. And it's
I don't know who
doing
is
God's
doing
work.
That, but whoever it is really pretty funny.
Because I'm imagining you've been at some of these, a fair amount of these school boards. So is there any like consistency of people there that you can have like narrow down who you think it is?
Well, I think that people are taking it from the YouTube channel.
Oh.
So I don't think it's someone who's actually there.
Got it.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is smart.
Yeah. But really, I'm looking at this policy and it says, you know, concerning educational materials that students, parents, staff, or residents of the school district may register a complaint regarding library materials, but it doesn't say, you know, the complaint needs to be bound by any certain.
So it's pretty codified. Yeah, it's pretty wide open. They can define this is going to be harmful to my child.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
What's really concerning to me is that we had a library audit like just a year ago, and over 100 books were challenged, and a very small percent were either moved up or removed. I think it was less than 5% of what was challenged, and what was challenged was like less than 1% of the total books in the library. But there were books challenged that weren't even in our libraries. So that tells you this is not a grassroots, my kid brought this book home and I'm really worried about it. There were books that weren't even in
it. It was like they got a list of books from some group.
Of the books that were, yeah.
Did you say 80?
We're not even in the library.
80?
18. 1-8.
Oh, I'm going to say 80.
Oh, God, no. If it was, that would be even worse. But also, another trend that we saw, and this is me kind of being a stats nerd, but is that when I look through those books that weren't on the list, many of them deal with LGBTQ issues. Many of them deal with gender. There are some that are race-related topics. You can see what they're gunning for, right?
Yeah.
And what really blows my mind about these parental rights people, you know, I'm going to decide what my child can read. I'm going to decide. But then when it comes to the states stepping in and saying, well, we're not banning conversion therapy and we're going to make these decisions about your child for you.
Yeah.
But otherwise it's all, you know, get your hands off my kid. I'm a parent. I have my parental rights, but not if they're LGBTQ.
No, of course. And with the LGBTQ kids, we already know they're a higher risk population in terms of mental health and, suicide rates, all those kind of things. And if you're going to take their resources away, take the books away that show them a model of someone else feeling the same way they feel, and remove the ban on conversion therapy, which has completely been proven to be bunk. I mean, it doesn't work. All it does is make people feel really bad. And, sometimes it ends up causing people to do harmful things.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, Sarah, I'd love to talk a little bit more. If you've talked to any librarians, because I had one librarian reach out to me who was not interested in coming on the show.
Which I totally understand.
Mm-hmm. But as far as anecdotally, some of the conversations you've had with the people who this has put a burden on them just trying to do their job. But then also we'll end on a high note as far as talking about who's running for school board and potential folks who could maybe turn this around as far as what is happening on the Waukesha School Board right now. Our guest this half hour is Sarah Harrison. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
What's that smell? You smell that? I hear that same thing every day. I'm Crust Buster Crockett, and I can tell you, I sure do smell that. That there's the sweet smell of cherry pie. That's the only thing you smell when Crockett Septic Pumper Trucks come a-rolling down the road to pump your septic and holding tanks. Hoo-wee! They sure do a good job keeping your system clean, and Crockett Septic can also take care of your porta-potty rentals, too. Just give them a call, 715-712-3456. Tell them Crust Buster Crockett sent you.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Hold a tank, septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky, nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
The friendliest bar in the area is Jammer's Bar & Grill on Eagle Road in Rapids. Try $2 Tuesdays. Any beer, cans, bottles, mugs, any brand, all day, $2. Saturday and Sunday, try Jammer's soon-to-be-famous 5-beer bucket special. Any domestic beer you want, mix and match, $10. Delicious burgers, brats, chicken, and all your favorite apps. Don't forget Jammer's has plenty of space for your next party. That's Jammer's Bar & Grill, 2810 Eagle Road. You're gonna love it here.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, alright, you got me, I give up.
That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
News Talk Radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Aaron Zommers, thank you for lightening the mood with that great tribute to Reading Rainbow.
Well, yeah, we're talking about books, and what better song is there about books?
That is.
You are doing a stellar job, my friend.
He's putting you to, he's giving you a run for your money.
I know. I'm feeling threatened.
Well, welcome back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. We are recording live from Madison. Aaron Zommers is our producer for the day, and we are talking to Sarah Harrison of Waukesha, parent of teenagers in Waukesha, concerned parents, getting an update on, not my words, we'll say the words of the TikTok account, Dumpster Fire Waukesha, which we don't feel that way. We love being,
we love Waukesha.
We love Waukesha. It is a great community that has also elected some people who are passing resolutions on the school board for in multiple different ways that are harmful to certain groups of students. And I think on top of that, we haven't followed up. This is, I don't want to get too far in the other direction, but in a different community, not super far away, but Muskego, having issues right now as far as racial slurs and inappropriate behavior happening at a basketball game that members of their community, I know this week, showed up and protested
very
during
upset.
Their meeting about this. And, you know, it goes back to the purpose of these books, the purpose of some of these classes, like diversity, equity, inclusion classes, is to teach children empathy. And also to have kids who are part of those different groups have their image reflected in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there are parents who, whether they're part of a bigger group, a national group, and being told and kind of infiltrated into their thought process as far as what is dangerous, versus on the other side, there is actual harm being done with prejudice and with bad behavior to minority groups, and yet the act of the school board is still to push it away. And so what we're really talking about, that's my rant, I'll get off my soapbox for a second. So Sarah, I guess, because I was interested if you've been able to talk to any of the librarians, because just for, if you're just joining us, the conversation's been, there's a new resolution in Waukesha that librarians now when there is a challenge to a book, they have a review process, but there it is not open to the public as far as what that review process is or even what books are getting challenged. And so books are getting banned.
And they're getting disappeared before anyone right. even knows that this has happened.
Right.
And so
right.
have you had a chance to talk to librarians about their feelings about this?
So I haven't had a lot of conversation with the librarians. The ones I have talked to, though, really, really have emphasized that this is such a small section of, you know, segment of the all of the books that are available. And even out of that small percent, hardly anything needed to be addressed. So very few books have actually needed to move to a different age level or to be removed from the libraries. And they do have a selection process that they go through on the front end to make sure that things are age appropriate, to make sure that it's, you know, something that belongs in a school. And largely what we're seeing is not truly challenging the age level, it's challenging the content of, well, I will actually say I looked and I was pleased to see that this wasn't challenged in our school district, but there's a book around the country that's been challenged that's about two male gay penguins that adopt a baby penguin and things like that. Why is that being challenged? Only because of the LGBTQ content. It's not that there's anything explicit or anything like that happening in some of these books. Now, I'm sure that some of the things that did get removed, I'm not saying I guarantee 100% that every book in the Waukesha schools is perfect, but there is a big uproar about a very few number of books and most of them following similar content. It sounds an awful lot like censorship to me, but
yeah. And Sarah, I think it's
my word.
Yeah, and I think it's important too. What you had mentioned in the earlier segment is that they're trying to pass this off as a grassroots movement, and it really is questionable on whether or not that is true. There's a nationwide push, and there's a nationwide organizing effort to yes. get this to happen across the country.
So I am so glad you said that because that spurred a thought in my head. I actually went out and looked at, because there are a whole bunch of groups out there, right? There's the 1776 Project, there's Moms for Liberty. Here in Wisconsin, we have WILL, which is the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. There are a lot of groups out there. Some are PACs, some are not, that are pushing for these different things, right? If you go out on the Moms for Liberty website, they have a template that you can use to write a parental rights policy. And the first sentence is a resolution to affirm the commitment of blank school board to the fundamental rights of parents to direct the education of their children. The first sentence of the School District of Waukesha parental rights resolution is a resolution to affirm the commitment of the School District of Waukesha Board of Education to the rights of parents to be informed of and direct the education of their minor children. So they added informed of and minor. Other than that, it's the exact same,
thing. All right. Well, we only have a minute left, so I just want to...
Oh, sorry.
No. It's fine. It goes fast. And so I just want to be able to end on who should people who vote in Waukesha, who should they vote for school board, in your opinion?
So we have seen that WISRED has bought our last two elections. The person to vote for in this election is Diane Voigt in Waukesha. And for folks in the Elmbrook district, it would be Preetha Kuradariara and David Irwin.
All right.
Those are the folks that you should vote for.
We will put that all on today's show notes. Sarah, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your work.
Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR. Wisconsin Rapids.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. There's a blood drive a week from tomorrow at the McMillan Memorial Library in Wisconsin Rapids, March 24th from noon to 5 p.m. The Red Cross will be thankful for donors, so grateful, in fact, they'll lend you a hand with a $10 Visa prepaid card. Donors of all blood types, especially type O donors and platelet donors, are encouraged to make and keep appointments to donate. In the State of the Tribes address at a joint session of the Wisconsin Legislature on Tuesday,
Chairman of the Skokaganin Chippewa community, Robert Vanzel, called for actions to address threats to public health and safety that disproportionately affect Native Americans. Vanzel asked the Republican-controlled legislature to support Governor Evers' budget proposal that would devote $3.7 million annually to create an Office of Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women within the state DOJ, as well as measures to fight pollution and increase access to health care on tribal lands. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
The Arts Council presents Chris Cruzy. The voice is Chris Cruzy with his full band at the Performing Arts Center, Wisconsin Rapids, March 24th. Get your tickets anytime at savorthearts.org or call 715-424-2787. Sweet home Alabama, can't you see? Can't you see? Chris Cruzy, March 24th with the Arts Council, your performing arts connection.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director James and head of production Seth will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table? Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with isolated rain showers likely. High of 43, winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, mixed precipitation likely. Lows dip down to about 20. Chance for snow tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 26. Cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 43.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are recording live from Madison. Field trip, road trip for us, but we are very excited to be in the Civic Media headquarters, and we're very excited for our next guests. So, the Pulitzer Prize. It is regarded as the highest national honor in newspaper, magazine, and online journalism, literature, and musical composition. It's been around for over 100 years, And this year, Pulitzer Prize honorees are taking their work on the road. And guess where their first stop is?
Is it close?
It is close. It's actually where we are today. It is in Madison. And so here to talk more about the Madison event and the traveling tour, along with why journalism is so important and it's as important today as it's ever been, is Marjorie Miller, who is the administrator of the Pulitzer Prizes, and Raquel Rutledge, who is a public service investigative reporter with Journal Sentinel and has received the nation's highest honors in journalism, including the Pulitzer Prize for local reporting. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I guess let's start. Marjorie, this is the first year that this traveling program is happening, right?
The first year, and this is the first event. And the idea behind it is that people around the country don't often have the opportunity to speak with or hear or dialogue with Pulitzer Prize winners. And so they often don't know what goes into this kind of work, how labor intensive it is, and how expensive it can be, and how diligent these reporters are in tracking down the facts and the witnesses and often the victims of malfeasance and wrongdoing, corruption, negligence, whatever it is. So we want to take the journalism out to people to have a discussion. And in this case, it's specifically about health and safety journalism and how these reporters, Raquel, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Corey Johnson from from the Tampa Bay Times were really instrumental in looking out for the health and safety of their communities.
And so with the, how many different cities are you going? You're starting in Madison, which is where Raquel and Corey will be. Are you, Raquel, are you also traveling to the other cities?
We
have not. I think you're going to highlight work in other cities in the future. Not Corey and I aren't going.
Okay.
They're going to highlight the journalism from other places in the future.
Got it. And so, Marjorie, how many in total, how many different events are there going to be?
Well, we don't know. This is sort of a proof of concept.
Okay.
We want to make sure that people turn out and feel that they get what they came for. And the idea would be to do three or four a year, different ones in different cities around the country, and maybe more, or to do multiple events in a city, say, for example. Well, we had hoped to meet with groups of high school students, but it turns out it's break when we're going to be. That's what I mean about proof of concept. So based on what happens here, we'll decide how many we can do per year and how many events we might be able to do per stop.
So for this first one, when is it and where is it and how can people sign up, or is there a limit to, you know, is there a space limit?
It is going to be held in Madison on March 28th at 7 p.m. in the Overture Center. And if you go to Pulitzer.org, you can RSVP. It's free. But there is a space limit of about 200, I think. But you'll probably squeeze.
Yeah, people will stand.
We'll squish a few more in there.
There are no fire marshals on the line here.
Exactly.
So I guess, Raquel, for people who are unfamiliar, what is your award-winning story that you're going to be talking about at the event?
It's a story, it's an investigation that we did in 2021 called Wires and Fires, that exposed how electrical fires are often treated as accidents and not thoroughly investigated. And when we did our investigation, we were able to find that they disproportionately affect Black renters in the most distressed neighborhoods in our city. And so we took a deep look and found this disparity, and then that little was being done about it, that the politicians weren't aware, they weren't tracking the numbers, and very little was being done to address the issue. So that's changing slowly.
Marjorie had alluded, Raquel, to how long it can take someone to write an investigative piece like the one that you did. How long did it take you? And I know you've done a number of these pieces over the years. Have you ever gotten to a point where you're just like, ugh, I give up. I'm exhausted. I hit a dead end and I just,
yes, you have to have a very long attention span for these types of projects. A lot of people think they want to do investigative journalism, but when you get into it, it's very stressful. You're making huge allegations, a lot of times against companies, against the government. You have no margin of error. You can't be wrong. It's a stressful job. It does take a lot of time. We had in this initial, this series had three major investigations as part of it, and then there were follow-up stories. So I would say that first investigative piece before we launched that, I would say it was about 6 months. And then it was a number of weeks in between each future installment. And then we've had a number of follow-ups since then. So it is a commitment of finances. We hired an electrician, a master electrician, to go out into the community and knock on doors with us and try to get into some places and rental units and let us have a look at their electrical systems to see what sort of risk really exists out there, because that's something that no one could say at that point. So there's a cost associated with that as well. It's intensive, but it is also something that we hear from readers that it's the reason they subscribe to our paper, that's the kind of journalism they expect and want from their community. And so I think they have a sense of feeling proud and wanting to be to be affiliated with a news organization that does such work. So we got people that were really thanking us for being in the community. It's a population that often gets overlooked. So it's very worthwhile, but there aren't enough places in the country doing this kind of work.
Absolutely. And one of the things I think I read this as far as on top of Raquel, you'll be there. Corey Johnson will be there talking about his story, but also that it's going to feature some of the people who were impacted by your stories, as far as people that you interviewed, people that were now hopefully have had some conclusion to it. And so why was that important? And was that hard to get them to agree to be part of this, Marjorie?
No, I think they are very willing to help us spread the word and to not just about their cases, but about the importance of this kind of journalism. And Raquel and I haven't spoken about this, but I imagine what she found in Milwaukee is not unique to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
That there must be other cities in Wisconsin and other states where this has been happening. And so I think people who have been through this, who have suffered losses or illnesses, want to alert people and try to get them help in other places. And we also, in addition to having the people who have suffered this, we have an attorney who is helping some of Raquel's cases. And we have an official from the Florida equivalent of OSHA who can talk about why this journal, how this journalism helps to feed policy changes. So we want to look forward to impact.
We might have to drive up here, Jane, and come from Milwaukee to be able, so we can go to the event. But we're talking to Raquel Rutledge, who is a public service investigative reporter with the Journal Sentinel, and Marjorie Miller, who is the administrator of the Pulitzer Prizes, about the event that is coming up in March 28th, so next week, that is happening in Madison for talking about Pulitzer Prize winners and the importance of local journalism. And I think Raquel and I got to do a video together at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to promote the event, but we worked on basically a story that you had written that kind of highlights so much of why local journalism, why investigative journalism, especially now, is so important. And about a month ago, we had George Stanley on the show, and he talked about, over his career, some of the stories that Journal Sentinel did that saw change, that created change almost immediately. And so, Raquel, for you, what are some of the stories that you've done, just to put it into context for people, that what journalism can act, it's not just a report, it's not just a story, it actually holds people accountable, and there are ramifications when you find something.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I mean, sometimes it takes many years. Literally earlier, it was last year, I wrote a follow-up story on a man who had suffered lung injury from coffee roasting That was a story we had written about how there's a chemical in coffee plants that if the facilities aren't properly ventilated, the workers can be exposed to some really harmful chemicals that can cause lung damage. And so that's a story literally we worked on back in 2015, 2016, I think it was. And just last year, a man who had been injured, you know, won, I can't remember, but I think it was about a $5 million lawsuit. So sometimes it takes a long time. There was a plant in the south part of Milwaukee where they were recycling 50 gallon drums. And the workers there were being exposed to chemicals, explosions, burns. It was a series we called Burned. And that the EPA just acted on that also. It took them years, but they finally acted to enforce some of the regulations and increase some of the regulations around that plant that was exposing the neighbors, not only the workers, but the neighborhood to these chemicals. So sometimes it takes a very long time, but, you know, often when we stay with it, I mean, that's the key, is to not take our eye off the ball, because a lot of times we write stories. And as you alluded to earlier, you know, sometimes there is fatigue and exhaustion. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, you know, I've written it. I just, what more can I do? But the point is, you have written it and you have all the expertise. And so staying with it and continuing to write about it that's what really brings about change. I think if you just write one story, it's not going to be enough. There's talk about things, but little action often happens unless you stick with it.
Absolutely. Well, I have one more, because I want to reiterate all the information for the event, but sometimes when we have people who are in specific professions that get movies written about them or shows written about them, we like to ask people, what is the most accurate depiction in Hollywood of what you all do? Is there a movie or a show that is done to try to demonstrate investigative reporting and journalism that you feel like they actually got it right? Or are they all kind of too dramatic and not long enough as far as what it actually takes to do?
I think, there are a lot of great, you know, we're basically all narcissists, so we live. But lately, I just love Alaska Daily. I think it's, if you haven't seen that, it's with Hilary Swank, and it's pretty wonderful as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, and that's a good suggestion.
High praise.
Treats a real serious subject. So,
Raquel, do you back that up, or is there another one for you?
You know, I haven't seen that one, and I haven't seen She Said yet, but I have seen Spotlight. Yeah. Of course, Spotlight to me was really, that was one that I thought really reflected the truth of our work when they're down in the basement digging through those old, directories. Yeah, I thought, that some of our work is very tedious, and I felt like they did a good job of really getting into the weeds on how we do our stuff. So I would say that one.
All right. Well, let's remind everyone one more time about the information for the Madison event, where they can find the information, where they can sign up.
It's March 28th. It's a Tuesday night at 7:00. And it's at the Overture Performing Arts Center in Madison. And it is, you can find the link to register on the Pulitzer website, pulitzer.org. It will also be live streamed, but we want you to come.
Yes. It's always more fun in person.
No doubt.
We will link all of that information on our show notes today. I will share it out on social media, and maybe we'll even be there, Jane.
We'll give it our best shot.
Marjorie Miller, the administrator for the Pulitzer Prizes, and Raquel Rutledge, who is a public service investigative reporter for the Journal Sentinel. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. This is so fascinating.
Thank you for having us.
Good luck at the event. So we'll see you there. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Aww. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Tell all the people across the USA.
Wisconsin.
Eddie J. Aaron, is that Eddie
That's
J?
That's correct. That's Eddie J. Eddie
wow. J. Yeah. Look at you. Is that because you've had to pull it up so many different times?
There's a whole plethora of Packer songs, and Eddie J's been doing those for a really long time.
It'd be interesting to try to figure out, and I don't know how you would ever have the final list of this, of which sports team has the most songs written about it.
That would be interesting.
I feel like the Packers have to be up there.
They've got to be a contender.
Just think of, green and yellow. Was that Lil Wayne?
Lil Wayne.
We had
an entire segment one day of just doing Green Bay Packer Christmas carols.
That's right. Yeah, there's tons of them.
I feel like there's a lot, but because I'm not a fan, I'm like a super fan of any other teams, I don't know if there's, I've never done the research to know if.
Aaron, we've just been thrown a musical gauntlet, so we'll have to. We'll have to investigate these songs for other NFL teams and see what we can find.
That we will.
All right. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. That was so interesting.
Yes.
Getting to talk to Raquel Rutledge and Marjorie Miller. I guess right now we're not live. We're not streaming live in Madison. But for all Madison listeners who are going to hear this later in the day.
Right.
Highly recommend going to that event. If it's not too much of a burden to travel to Madison, highly recommend going to that event. I think it's not every day, like they said, you get to talk to Pulitzer Prize winning journalists and hear about what it takes to do that kind of work. And we say this a lot on this show, like I couldn't do this job without journalists.
No doubt.
Because it's not like we're out there doing firsthand reporting. We're
right.
In the studio talking about their reporting.
Yep.
Putting a spin on it, giving it an opinion, breaking it down in maybe easier bites, but thinking about, I don't know if I've said this story on air, but getting to work in the newsroom in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel when I'm not here, and Allison Durr, who covers Milwaukee City Hall, she like dropped her binder of all the stuff for the city budget.
Oh my gosh.
Because we were going to try to help her with a video to try to sum it up.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, this is why I don't do your job. I'm not going through this. Like, I'm going to read what you wrote and then help you get it down to like 60 seconds. I'm not doing, this is why I did not become a journalist.
Well, and as Raquel Rutledge said, it takes months and months and months and months. And sometimes years and years before you ever see the fruition of what you did. But the fact that there are going to be people appearing at this event in Madison next week who were directly impacted by this story, I think just brings home again how crucially important local journalism is. If you can subscribe to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, if you can subscribe to your local, it's just so important. They get away with so much when no one is watching. And that's the whole point of journalism, is to hold them accountable. And it might take years, but change can be affected. And I can't imagine how that must feel for someone like Raquel and the other reporters who do these long-term pieces. When there is finally something, I throw myself a big party. It's like, whoa, look what I helped.
When something actually happens.
What I helped change.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And so, so my hat's off to them as far as the work they continue to do. Really, it also just, I mean, that story, which the one that she won for, but also just the ongoing reporting about landlords and renting and the plight of so many people in Milwaukee that are completely exploited.
And trapped.
And
pretty much trapped.
In these, like, slumlords, crappy apartments.
Yep.
Because we've talked to Daphne Chen and Corey Spivak before as far as some of their reporting, and it's grim. And so the least we can do is read about it and support the work that's trying to get better conditions for so many people. All right, well, on a different note, I heard you got something over there you want to talk about.
I am very easily amused, but Mike Pence, the former vice president,
Getting ready to run for president, probably.
He is gearing up for it and still dancing. You know, he's refusing. He won't appear and testify before. He ignored his subpoenas. He won't talk about what happened on January 6th or what he knows on January 6th. So he's trying to do these end-around appearances and make him, you know, put himself on the stage without taking too much heat. Well, now apparently he is mocking the former president's religiosity, which
isn't that the name of Bill Maher's
religious. Okay. Yeah. So at the recent annual spring dinner of the Gridiron Club, an exclusive group of inside the Beltway journalists in Washington, D.C., Mike Pence poked fun at Trump's relationship with religion. This is from the Washington Post. Quote, I once invited President Trump to Bible study. He really liked the passages about the smiting and perishing of thine enemies. As he put it, you know, Mike, there's some really good stuff in here, unquote.
I didn't know Mike Pence had a sense of humor. That's actually pretty funny. I'm just going to say, of course, I mean, whether it's true or not, if it's not true, it's funny. And if it is true, it's also funny.
It is.
And so, because he's so buttoned up all the time, the fact that he's even saying anything of that's like at the detriment of Donald J. Trump is interesting. But that's also, it's funny because it's true.
Well,
that would be the only part that Trump likes about the Bible.
Well, of course. And I can think of a couple other portions too that he probably liked. The other quotes from the former vice president that I find so interesting, quote, I read that some of those classified documents they found at Mar-a-Lago were actually stuck in the president's Bible, which proves he had absolutely no idea they were there, unquote. Yeah, so he's not cracking that book every night.
No, well, you can't even hold it upright.
This is true.
You have to.
But is this going to save Mike Pence with the evangelicals? I would think this is going to just make them turn on him even more.
It'd be interesting to try to get Brandon back, who we had over the summer, who is a former evangelical preacher.
Yeah.
And the mental gymnastics of evangelicals and the political alignments and things where I think they all know who Trump is, but if it's, you know, I think I've heard different theories as far as being so adamant about the abortion stuff, and, you know, lo and behold, like he made good on his promise for
Did.
But I feel like Pence is deader in the water than almost anyone as far as trying, like, even starting this out.
Yeah, I don't see how this redemption tour is going to end well for him. And again, Mr. Pence, the former guy's supporters were shouting to hang you. That might be something that would linger with me.
A great starting point.
Yeah, I think you should kind of keep
And then you've done nothing to redeem yourself for, like, never Trumpers.
No.
and get those votes. So it's like, who are you? Who's your audience, man?
I don't know who's left.
All right. Well, we're taking a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, do you want to work for the DNR this summer? Because they're hiring. Nature, outdoors.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.